الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى اله واصحابه واتباعه وازواجه وذرياته Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله سبحانه وتعالى has mentioned three things in the verse that was recited within the khutbah. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, iman, ittaqullah, taqwa, wa koonu ma'as sadiqeen, and the company of the Sadiqeen, the company of the truthful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ittaqullah, fear the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Create taqwa, wiqaya, a shield between yourselves and the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, and be with the truthful. Be with the صادقين, be with the truthful. The first item is iman, the second is taqwa, and the third is the company of the صادقين. All three are very important for success in this world, success at the time of death, success in the grave, success on the day of Qiyamah, success at the time of reckoning, success on the Pul Sirat, for being granted entry into Jannah without having to go in Jahannam. All these three items are very, very important. First is iman. the greatest ni'mat, the greatest bounty, the greatest blessing bestowed upon us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iman. What is Iman? Iman is to understand and recognize the truth and thereafter to accept it wholeheartedly. Only understanding and recognizing the truth is not Iman. To understand and recognize the truth and thereafter to accept it wholeheartedly, to submit to it, and to proclaim La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is Iman. Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had understood the truth. He had also recognized the truth. But only by understanding and recognizing the truth, a person cannot become a believer. He has to accept it wholeheartedly and submit to it. Once he said, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينَ لَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةُ أَوْ حِذَارُ مَسَبَّةٍ لَوَجَدْتَنِي سَمْحًا بِذَاكَ مُبِينًا. Abu Talib said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ, indeed, I believe, I know, بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ, that the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينَ, is the best deen on the surface of this earth. I know that. I have understood this, I have recognized this, I believe, but I have not submitted to it. I have not accepted this with my heart. I don't accept it as the authority that rules me. Because I fear my people saying bad things to me, lamenting me. لَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةُ أَوْ حِذَارُ مَسَبَّةٍ, if it was not for the fear of my people saying bad things to me, if it was not for the fear of my people alienating me, if it was not for the fear of my people persecuting me, لَوَجَدْتَنِي سَمْعًا بِذَاكَ مُبِينًا, O my nephew, you would have found me accepting this deen wholeheartedly and submitting to it. But because of the fear, I am unable to accept it wholeheartedly and submit to it. I know that the deen is the only truth. I know that you are the true messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know that the Quran or the wahy that you recite to us is nothing but the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is something preventing me from accepting this deen. Hercules, he also understood and recognized the truth. After reading the letter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and after interviewing Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu, who was not then a Muslim, he reached the conclusion that this is the final messenger. This is the Nabi that we are all waiting for. But he feared his people. He feared that his people may persecute him. He feared that his people may assassinate him. He said, لَوْ كُنْتُ عِنْدَهُ لَغَسَلْتُ عَنْ رِجْلَيْهِ. This is the narration of Bukhari Sharif. That if I was near this messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I would have served him, I would have washed his feet. But he was unable to accept because he had love for leadership. He did not want to let go of that leadership. So Abu Talib, Hercules, both of them, they understood the truth. They recognized the truth. But they were not prepared to accept it wholeheartedly as the authority that will rule their lives. And they did not proclaim the truth with this acceptance, with this submission. So they are not believers. So iman is to understand and recognize the truth and thereafter wholeheartedly without a shadow of doubt accept it. Whether a person is able to practically implement it in his life or not, that's a different matter. But to accept it wholeheartedly that yes, 5 times salat is farz upon me and I should carry it out and I am submitting to this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, he is able to carry it out or not, that's a different matter. And when he is unable to carry it out, he does not say, I don't perform salat because it's not necessary. No, he believes and he accepts, he submits that I am guilty. I need to perform salat. So iman is to recognize and understand the truth, understand and recognize the truth, and thereafter to accept it wholeheartedly without a shadow of doubt and submit to it that yes, I accept this as the authority. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا. Only those people can be defined as believers who believe in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as a result, who believe in everything that comes from Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا, and thereafter they have no doubt whatsoever. Whether it is 5 times salat, whether it is zakah, whether it is hajj, whether it is sawm, whether it is mi'raj, isra and mi'raj, whether the faculty of intellect can understand or not, they submit as long as it comes from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So anything that reaches an ummati from the Rasul direct, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala Ali Majmain were fortunate to hear the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, listen to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, observe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whatever they saw, whatever they heard, or anything that reaches an ummati after the passing away of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through a chain which reaches the sublime degree of tawatur, a person has to accept that to become a believer without a shadow of doubt. This is iman. Once a person has this iman, so a person has understood, he has recognized, he has accepted and he has proclaimed, now he is a believer, he is a mu'min. So wherever we come across verses of this type in the Quran, inna alladhina amanu alladhina yu'minuna, it means this iman, this iman, understanding and recognizing the truth, thereafter accepting the truth wholeheartedly without a shadow of doubt, with complete submission to whatever is conveyed by the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this person has become a mu'min. And after a person becomes a mu'min, he or she, if that person is able to retain this iman, safeguard this iman, until this person breathes his or her last, despite not carrying out any good, or abstaining from any evil. Now, whether that is possible or not, it's a different matter. But if a person was able to do this, that he safeguarded his iman, his belief, despite not doing a single good, and despite not abstaining from a single evil, if this person was to depart from this world with iman, then a time will come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely grant him entry into Jannah. Maybe he is punished in the grave. On the day of Qiyamah, he is punished. He will be granted his book of deed in his left hand. He will be thrown in the fire of Jahannam for 5 years, 50 years, 500 years, 1,000 years, 5,000 years. But eventually a time will come when he will be granted entry into Jannah. Allahu Akbar, what a great ni'mat this iman is, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted to us without any effort on our part. Only this ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no water, no food, no clothing, no comfort, only this one ni'mat deserves our total submission to him. This ni'mat of iman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. Our non-Muslim, our new Muslim brothers, reverts. They exert so much effort in finding the truth. And after finding the truth, the sacrifices that they have to endure, Allahu Akbar, for iman. Bilal radiallahu anhu, Suhaib radiallahu anhu, Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, the sacrifices they had to give, the difficulties they had to endure. We, those of us who were born in Muslim homes, not even 1% of that difficulty comes upon us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us iman without any effort on our part. Alhamdulillah, we were born in Muslim homes and there iman was there in our laps. Such a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last person to come out of Jannah, that means the person who will have the least good deed and the most evil deed. The last person to come out of Jannah, of Jahannam. The last person to come out of Jahannam. So the non-Muslims will be thrown in the fire of Jahannam. They will remain in Jahannam forever and ever. The Muslims who had iman, but their evil outweighed their good, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, then through His fadl, He will grant them entry into Jannah without them having to go in the fire of Jahannam. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to deal with them with adl and not fadl, with justice and not grace, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send them in Jahannam. And they will remain in Jahannam for the duration of their evil doing. Some for a day, some for a week, some for a month, some for a year, some for 5 years, some for 10 years. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. We seek refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the fire of Jahannam. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include all of us and all our associates and the whole ummah amongst those who will be granted entry into Jannah without any reckoning. And may Allah grant us the tawfiq to carry out those amal which make us deserving of this honor on the day of Qiyamah. So, some mu'mineen, after being punished for an hour, will be taken out of Jahannam and they will be granted entry into Jannah. Some after 1 week, some after 1 month, some after 1 year, some after 100 years, whatever. The last person to come out from Jahannam. Last person. And go into Jannah. This is the worst moment. Worst moment, because he will be the last one to come out of Jahannam. And last one to be granted entry into Jannah. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with him? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deal with the worst moment in this manner,
then how will he deal with that person who will go direct into Jannah without having to go in Jahannam? How will Allah deal with that person? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inspire this person. Last person now, from the only kuffar and non-Muslim in Jahannam. Only this one mu'min, Allah will inspire him. And he will say to Allah, "Oh Allah, take me out of Jahannam. Take me out of Jahannam. I will not ask you for anything else." He will say to Allah, "Oh Allah, take me out of Jahannam. I will not ask you for anything else." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "I know you. If I take you out of Jahannam, you will definitely ask for something else." So he will say, "No Allah, I promise you, I will not ask you for anything else. Please take me out of Jahannam." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take many promises from him. Many promises. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates this hadith. Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala has reported this hadith in his Sahih. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take promises, and eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take him out from the fire of Jahannam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him stand out of Jahannam facing Jahannam. So some more time will pass and he will endure this difficulty somehow, and thereafter Allah will inspire him to speak to Allah again, and he will say, "Oh Allah, oh Allah, just turn my face away from Jahannam, because it's very hot. The heat, the smoke, it's bothering me. You've taken me out of Jahannam, now just turn my face away from Jahannam. I want to face in the other direction." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "You are breaking your promise. What did you say to me? What promise you made to me? That I am asking you only for one thing, take me out of Jahannam, and now you are asking for something else. You gave me your oath, you gave me your promise, you made an agreement with me. You say, 'Oh Allah, I will not ask for anything after this. Please, don't make me the most deprived of your creation. Oh Allah, don't make me the most deprived of your creation. Just this, turn my face away from Jahannam. It's very difficult to bear the smoke, the heat of Jahannam.'" So again, the same thing. Allah will take promises. Allah will make an agreement with him. "I will never ask for anything else." See how Allah is playing with him. See how Allah is joking with him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn his face away from Jahannam. Now his back is towards Jahannam and his face is towards Jannah. Now there is a long distance between Jannah and Jahannam, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make Jannah very close to him, or he will make his eyesight very powerful, that he will be able to see all the ni'mats of Jannah from where he is. So he will say, "Oh Allah, I am standing with my back towards Jahannam, very, very close to Jahannam. Can you not make me closer to Jannah? I'm not asking for Jannah, just closer to Jannah, so I'm able to look at the ni'mat more better and enjoy." Again the same thing, same communication, same conversation. And he will say the same thing, "Oh Allah, do not make me the most deprived of your creation. Please, just..." Again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take promises, and then Allah will make him near to Jannah, and he will see all the ni'mats of Jannah, and he will say, "Oh Allah, you brought me so close to Jannah. You are Arhamur Rahimeen. Please grant me entry into Jannah. Do not deprive me." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst narrating this hadith, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will smile. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst narrating this hadith, also smiled. And he smiled so much that his teeth became visible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, okay, I grant you entry into Jannah. Allahu Akbar. I grant you entry into Jannah. And I will grant you Jannah which is equivalent to the whole world. I will grant you Jannah which is equivalent to the whole world. Abu Sayyid Khudri radiyallahu anhu was also sat in that majlis. Wherein Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu was narrating this hadith, he says, no, Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, I will give you Jannah which is 10 times bigger than the world. So this is the last person who will be taken out of Jahannam and who will be granted entry into Jannah. He will have no good deed, only evil in his life. But through the barakah of Iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will one day grant him entry into Jannah, and Allah will grant him Jannah which is 10 times bigger than this world. So Iman is a very great ne'mat. If we go with Iman, despite all our evil deeds, one day inshallah we will be able to enter Jannah. But if we leave this world without Iman, we are doomed forever and ever, ever and ever. We will never be able to go in Jannah. So now the question is, how can we safeguard Iman? Because those people who have Iman, they are of many categories. Category number one, they have Iman. They may leave Iman before departing from this world. They may change their religion. Maybe they are unable to safeguard their Iman. Some of them may remain as believers, but at the time of death, Shaitan may snatch their Iman away. At the time of death, they may go with kufr. Those people who are able to safeguard their Iman and go into the hereafter, again, if their evil deeds outweigh their good deeds, then maybe through the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be granted entry into Jannah without having to go in Jahannam. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with them with adl, with justice and not with fadl, with grace, then Allah will say, go in the fire of Jahannam and then eventually go in Jannah. Iman is the key. So how can we safeguard Iman? That is the question. And this is what I wish to discuss today. How can we safeguard Iman? Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us Iman. But how can we safeguard Iman? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so gracious, so merciful, so kind that over and over again he says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ittaqullah, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ittaqullah, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ittaqullah, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ittaqullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that ittaqullah is the method of saving your iman. O you who believe, ittaqullah. Ittaqullah, fear Allah. This is how we translate this phrase. Ittaqullah, fear Allah. Fear Allah. Fear the displeasure of Allah. Fear the displeasure of Allah. Fear the disobedience to Allah. And when a person will fear the disobedience to Allah or the displeasure of Allah, he will create a shield between himself and the disobedience to Allah. So create a wiqayah, taqwa, wiqayah, a shield between yourselves and the disobedience to Allah. This is taqwa. So when we say adopt taqwa, adopt taqwa, adopt taqwa, it means create a shield between yourself and the disobedience to Allah. There should be a shield that will prevent you from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will prevent you from making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unhappy. So taqwa and wiqaya is the answer. How can we safeguard iman? Taqwa. How can we safeguard iman? Wiqaya. The same taqwa in other places has been given another name. A'mal-e-saliha. Good deeds. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا those people who accept iman, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ and carry out good deeds. That means those people who create a shield between themselves and the disobedience to Allah. And when a person creates a shield between himself and the disobedience to Allah, whatever he will do, whatever he will say will be good. So amale saliha and taqwa, same thing. Different words, but same thing. Taqwa is also called istiqama, steadfastness. So after accepting iman, remain steadfast. Steadfast means do not disobey Allah, do not displease Allah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ those people who say our Rabb is Allah, this is iman. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا thereafter they remain firm. They remain firm means they create a riqaya, a taqwa, a shield between themselves and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these are different words, but their meaning is the same. Zikrullah is another name. Ala bi zikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Only through the remembrance of Allah. Zikrullah, remembrance of Allah. One remembrance of Allah is with the tongue. Subhanallah, 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 subhanallah. So the tongue is saying subhanallah and the mind is in the shop. The tongue is saying سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ. The tongue is in the zikr of Allah. But the mind is in the shop. The mind is in the factory. The mind is in the wife and the children. This is zikr of the tongue. And the second is the zikr of the heart and the mind. Once a person acquires this zikr of the heart and the mind, then automatically there will be a wiqaya. Because he is remembering Allah all the time. So automatically there will be a wiqaya, there will be taqwa. He will not be able to disobey Allah. So you may call it istiqamah, you may call it amal-e-saliha, you may call it zikrullah, you may call it taqwa, you may call it Islam. Iman is believing and Islam is practicing. Islam, submission, practical submission, you may call it Islam. You may call it wilaya, wilaya, friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wilaya has two stages. First stage is iman, this is wilaya amma, common friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter, taqwa, this is wilaya khasa, special friendship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون إيمان التقوى أولياء الله special friends of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. So you can call it ولاية as well, ولاية خاصة. And you can call it complete إيمان also. So one is إيمان and the other is كمال إيمان. نفس إيمان and كمال إيمان. So كمال إيمان is تقوى and نفس إيمان is إيمان, believing. Taqwa, 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 istiqama, zikrullah, Islam, kamal-e-iman, amal-e-saliha, wilayat-e-khasa. You may call it whatever you want. This is the key to success in everything. Once a person has taqwa, once a person has amal-e-saliha in his life, once a person has istiqamat, Allah guarantees everything. Now this is the very important point that we need to understand. You have a person who has iman only, and you have another person who has iman and taqwa, or iman and Islam, or iman and amal salihah, or iman and wilayat khassa, or iman and kamal iman. Whatever you may want to name it, it's the same thing. So you have a person who has iman only, and you have another person who has iman and also amal salihah, also taqwa. His life is pure from disobedience to Allah. And if he does commit a sin, if he does ever disobey Allah or displease Allah, he will not wait for the night of Qadr. He will not wait for Makkah Mukarrama or Madinah Munawwara. He will not wait for Friday or Ramadan or Mubarak. No, he will repent immediately.
الذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله.
When they commit a sin, when they disobey Allah, when they meet Allah and happy, they remember Allah. فاستغفروا لذنوبهم, and they repent, they ask for forgiveness. ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون. They do not insist, they do not carry on doing what they have done. No.
So tawbah is also part of taqwa.
Because we are not immune from sins. Only the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam are immune from sins. So for them taqwa means abstinence from sins. And for us taqwa means abstinence from sins, and if a sin is committed, then tawbah. This is our taqwa. We should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this name also.
That he has commanded us to stay away from anything that displeases him, but at the same time he said that if you do anything that displeases me and thereafter you repent, then as soon as you repent, you will again become a muttaqi. You will remain in that group. You will remain a muttaqi. So we have two types of mu'min now. Only mu'min. And the other is Mu'min Muttaqi. Mu'min Muttaqi. Who is Mu'min Muttaqi? He tries his utmost to stay away from anything that displeases Allah. And if overcome by nafs, overcome by shaitan, he does carry out something which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he immediately repents. Mu'min and mu'min e muttaqi. We need to understand the difference between the two. As far as the category that is only mu'min is concerned, there is no guarantee for them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no guarantee of any type. And as far as the mu'min muttaqi is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed this group every type of guarantee. For example, or let's cover the whole topic. Mu'min, only mu'min, no guarantee that Allah will grant him peace of mind, tranquility of the heart in this world. If Allah wills, despite his evils, Allah will grant him peace of mind, tranquility of the heart. If Allah wills, he will not. If Allah wills, he will remain with peace of mind for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and suddenly he will become depressed. His sukoon will go away. His sukoon will go away. The tranquility of the heart, he will lose it. Peace of mind, he will lose it. No guarantee for only a mu'min. Mu'min, a sinful mu'min, no guarantee. So a sinful mu'min, he may find himself in an environment of comfort and peace of mind. A sinful mu'min, he may find himself in an environment of comfort and peace of mind, but he will not have comfort and peace of mind. And a muttaqi mu'min, he may find himself in an environment of calamities, of distress, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him peace of mind and tranquility of the heart. Because Allah has promised, Allah bi dhikri Allah tatma'innul qulub.
Through the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the meaning of dhikr of Allah? The dhikr of the heart and the mind, whereby he is remembering Allah all the time, and he makes a wiqaya between himself and Allah. Through that,
tatma'innul qulub, the hearts will find peace. Na dunya se, na daulat se, na ghar abad karne se.
The hearts do not find peace through dunya, through wealth.
Na dunya se, na daulat se, through dunya, through daulat, wealth.
Na ghar abad karne se. A person cannot find peace, tranquility of the heart through good homes, good cars, good clothes. No.
Na dunya se, na daulat se, na ghar abad karne se. Tasalli dil ko milti hai khuda ko yaad karne se.
The heart finds peace through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And which remembrance of Allah?
The remembrance of the heart and the mind. Where heart and mind is remembering Allah, and because the heart and mind is constantly remembering Allah, there is a wiqaya between this person and his obedience to Allah.
And if for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, this heart becomes ghafil, and he forgets Allah, and he commits a sin, then after 10 minutes, again the heart will remember Allah, zakarullah, fastaghfiru li dhunubihim, and he will repent. So again he will get the peace of mind, and the tranquility of the heart.
So for a sinful mu'min, tranquility of the heart and peace of mind in this world is not guaranteed. But for a muttaqi mu'min, it is guaranteed.
For a sinful mu'min, death on iman is not guaranteed.
But for a muttaqi mu'min, death with iman is guaranteed.
Husn-e khatima is guaranteed.
Innal ladhina qalu rabbuna Allah. Those people who say our Rabb is Allah.
ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Thereafter they remain firm.
So they create a wiqaya between themselves and the disobedience to Allah.
تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ.
At the time of death, when shaitan is doing his utmost to deviate this person, the malaika will descend.
And the malaika will say, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا.
Do not fear, do not grieve.
We are with you. وَأَبْشِرُوا
بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open all the ways between this dying person and Jannah.
And the malaika will say, look, we have come to give you glad tidings of Jannah. Jannah is waiting for you.
نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا.
We are your friends in this world.
5 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour, 1 hour, whatever remains of your life, we are with you.
And do not think that you are going to be alone in the grave. No.
وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. We will be with you in the Akhirah also.
In the grave on the day of Qiyamah until you enter Jannah.
Qabr. Sinful mu'min.
No guarantees.
If Allah wills, no punishment. If Allah wills, punishment.
Muttaqi mu'min guarantee.
Innama al-qabru rawdatun min riyadil jannah.
Yuthabbitu Allahu alladhina amanu bil qawli sabit.
Allah will inspire him with the correct answers.
Man rabbuka? Who is your Rabb?
Rabbi Allah. My Rabb is Allah.
Ma deenuka? What is your deen?
Deen is Islam.
My religion is Islam.
And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be shown in the grave.
And the angel will say, مَا تَقُولُ فِي هَذَا الرَّجُلُ.
What do you say regarding this person?
So he will say, هَذَا حَبِيبِ.
This is my Habib.
هَذَا نَبِي. This is my Nabi.
On the day of Qiyamah,
sinful mu'min, no guarantee.
No guarantee.
Muttaqi mu'min, all guarantees.
Place under the throne of Allah subhanahu, under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
under the shade of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
book of deeds in the right hand,
with an easy reckoning
He will be made to cross the Sirat with the spear of lightning. And without having to enter Jannah, he will go in. Without having to enter Jahannam, he will go in Jannah, guaranteed. Sinful mu'min, if Allah will, place under the shade of the throne, place under the shade of the mercy of Allah. If Allah will, book of deeds in the right hand. If Allah will, pull Sirat easy. If Allah will, he will be granted entry into Jannah without having to go in the fire of Jahannam. But no guarantees. So from this we understand the importance of taqwa. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, O you who believe, those of you who have been honored with this gift of iman, safeguard this iman with taqwa. And as soon as you have taqwa in your life, amal saliha in your life, Islam in your life, zikrullah in your life, wilayat khassa in your life, you have all guarantees, all guarantees. Despite not having the resources of peace of mind, Allah will grant you peace. It's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Peace of mind does not come through the resources of peace. They come direct from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many people who sleep on comfortable beds, good mattresses, good environment in the bedroom, air condition, but they still feel restless. All the resources of rest are there, but they feel restless. And you see so many poor people lying on the footpath. No resources of rest, but in the morning you have to wake them up. They are still sleeping. Rest, peace, tranquility comes direct from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is granted to those people who have iman and with iman taqwa. So taqwa is very, very important, my friend. Taqwa, very important. Very important. Taqwa is to stay away from everything that displeases Allah. So I appeal to all my brothers and all my sisters to make this the goal of life from today. Until now, the goal was try to do as much ibadah as possible. No. No. When we say ibadah, we make a lot of mistakes. Because we are worshipping Allah and at the same time we are disobeying Him. No, from today the goal will not be ibadah. Shaitan deceives us. Oh, I am studying in Darulum, Trinidad from 7 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock, ibadah. I perform all my 5 times salat with Jama'ah because I am in the Darulum, ibadah. After Maghrib salat, I sit down to study again, ibadah. 40 days with da'wah, in da'wah work, ibadah, umrah, ibadah, tilawah, ibadah. Ibadah, 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 ibadah. Only thing we can see in our lives is ibadah. And we never concentrate on the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is happening is that the air condition is on and all the windows are open. All the doors are open. This room will never become cool. Because from one side is the coolness of ibadah, and on the other side, the windows and the doors of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are open. So shaitan is quite happy with our approach, with our behavior, with whatever type of life we are living. So from today, all the windows will remain shut, all the doors will remain shut, and thereafter whatever cold air we will be able to generate, how little it will be, it will cool this room. That should be the goal from today. The windows of the eyes should be controlled, the windows of the ears should be controlled, the windows of the mouth, the tongue should be controlled. All these windows need to be controlled. So from today, my friend, taqwa. Taqwa means خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا ذَاكَ التُّقَى لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ صَغِيرَةً إِنَّ الْجِبَالَ مِنَ الْحِصَى. Leave sins, Leave disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Leave everything and anything that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be it minor or major. Do not categorize disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh, this is minor, this is major. No. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, كُلُّ مَا نُهِيَ عَنْهُ فَهُوَ كَبِيرَةٌ. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said no to is kabira. Because when Allah says no, whether it's minor or major, we are disobeying Allah. And disobedience to Allah, how can it be minor? It is always major. لا تَحَكِرَنَّ صَغِيرَةً. Do not look down upon a minor sin. Because إِنَّ الْجِبَالَ مِنَ الْحِسَى. This mountain that you see in front of you, it is made of small pebbles. So one minor, second minor, third minor, fourth minor, fifth minor, it will lead a person to major. So any person who becomes habituated to committing minor sins will soon begin to commit major. And thereafter, the person who is habituated to committing major sins, this will lead him to kufr. Very dangerous. So abstain from every disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if ever overcome by shaitan and nafs, a sin is committed, then repent immediately. Repent immediately. Repent even if you have to repent 1,000 times in a day. Do not become despondent. Allah has granted us this ni'mat of tawbah. Use it. Use it over and over again. Use it over and over again. Lot of people say that I repented from watching film yesterday and today I committed the same sin. I watched a film, I could not resist it. Less than 24 hours and I committed this sin. Or some people will say, 3 years ago I repented, I could resist it for 3 days and I watched a film again, and then I repented again, after 2 days the same thing, I repented again, after 1 day the same thing, I repented again, within 24 hours same thing, I repented again, within 24 hours same thing, after I repented again, within 24 hours same thing. So I said, no, this is not gonna work. So I gave up. And that's the case with every person. Whenever we repent, we try for 1 day, 1 week, 1 month, and then we say, no, this is not gonna work. Is this what Allah said to us? Is this what our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us, that if you repent from a sin and you commit that sin and then you repent again and then you commit that sin again and then you repent again and then you commit that sin again, Allah will say, enough is enough? Is that what Allah said? Is that what our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said? No, Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have taught us to repent sincerely, and if after sincerely repenting we commit that same sin or another sin again, then repent again, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there to accept our repentance even if we make tawbah 100,000 times in 24 hours. 1,000,000 times in 24 hours. There is no limit. There is no limit. When we repent, shaitan loses. Despite that, does he ever give up? We repent. A person has been committing sins for 3 years. And after 3 years, he suddenly turns to Allah and he says, oh Allah, forgive me, I will never commit. All his efforts go down the drain. Does he give up? We repent how many times? Over and over again. In Ramadan we repent. When we go for Umrah we repent. When we go for Hajj we repent. When we go in Dawah Tabligh we repent. On Fridays we repent over and over again. Does he ever give up? He has everything to lose despite that he never gives up. And we have nothing to lose by making tawbah. Despite that, why should he give up? Tawbah has many benefits. One benefit is that all the past sins are forgiven, number one. And number two, another, so many benefits, but very important benefit. Through tawbah, the stamina to stay away from a particular sin increases. So let's say a person is habituated to consuming drugs. He makes a firm resolution, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, he can't resist it. Again he consumes, overcome with remorse and regret, he repents again. Every time he repents, the stamina to stay away from drugs is increasing. And shaitan knows this. That's why he creates this feeling of despondency within us. so that we don't continue repenting, because if we do, then a time is going to come when we will have enough strength to stay away from this sin forever and ever. Allah loves those people who repent. Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, At-taibu habibullah. The one who repents is the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is my plea, this is my appeal, this is my request to all my brothers, friends, my mothers, sisters, daughters. Let us make a firm resolution that from today the goal is going to be abstaining from anything, minor, major, that this displeases Allah. And if overcome by nafs and shaitan, we were to do something of that sort, we will repent immediately and start again. And this cycle will continue. Taqwa, tawbah, taqwa, tawbah, taqwa, tawbah, until we breathe our last. Inshallah, if we continue, on the day of Qiyamah, we will be resurrected as a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in order to safeguard iman, we need taqwa. And final point, in order to bring taqwa in our life, this taqwa, this zeal, and this strength to stay away from disobedience to Allah, we need to be in the company of the sadiqeen. And who are the sadiqeen? Ulaika alladhina sadaku wa ulaika humul muttaqun. The muttaqeen are the sadiqeen. So in order to bring taqwa in our lives, we need to sit in the company of the people of taqwa, those who already have taqwa. If we sit with smokers, we'll start smoking. If we sit with muttaqeen, inshallah taqwa will come in our lives. So the company of the muttaqeen will guarantee taqwa, and taqwa will guarantee the safety of our iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to practice whatever we have said, whatever we have heard. And may this become our goal until we breathe our last, that we will never do anything. Never, 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 come what may, we will not do anything that will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we do displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, overcome by nafs, shaitan, we will immediately repent. Inshallah, this way we will become the awliya in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once we acquire this wilaya khasa, once we acquire this istiqama, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا, those people who say our Rabb is Allah, they remain firm with amal saliha, with taqwa, فلا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون, there is no fear upon them, they will never grieve. أولئك أصحاب الجنة, these are the people of Jannah, خالدين فيها, they will remain in it forever and ever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us all together in Jannah. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين, وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. الحمد لله رب العالمين, والعاقبة للمتقين, والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك, يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها, أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم اصلح لنا شأننا كله, ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين, ولا تنزع منا صالح ما آتيتنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى, واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان, واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما بقيتنا. اللهم باعد بيننا وبين خطايانا كما باعدت بين المشرق والمغرب. اللهم إنا نسألك فعل الخيرات وترك المنكرات وحب المساكين, وأن تغفر لنا وترحمنا. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين واجعلنا من المتطهرين واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين المخلصين المخلصين المحبوبين المتقين اللهم اجعلنا من اوليائك المقربين اللهم اجعلنا من اوليائك الصديقين اللهم انا نسالك ايمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في اعلى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد اللهم انا نسالك من الخير كله عاجله واجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله واجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم اللهم انا نسالك من خير ما سالك عبدك ونبيك ونعوذ بك من شر ما عاد به عبدك ونبيك اللهم انا نسالك الجنه وما قرب اليها من قول او عمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب اليها من قول او عمل اللهم انا نسالك ان تجعل كل قضاء قضيته لنا خيرا ورشدا ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين واخر دعوانا ان الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.